So good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Yay, we're all here. Isn't that awesome?
Yay, yay to us, right?
Yay us. So I mentioned this in the 9 a.m. service, and I'm going to mention it again. I just love the way things always come together here. Isn't it beautiful how the daily word, and it's through no planning, no conscious planning, the daily word, the music, everything ties so beautifully together. I just love how we come together as a community, and that flows so well. So welcome to Belief Transformation and the Meaning of Success. So I want to ask you a question. Are you aware that you are a thought leader? Do you own being a thought leader? Because the fact that you're here means that there is something that you've learned. You have a spiritual lesson, like Linda mentioned in the Daily Word, or there's something that you learned that gives you a unique perspective, a gift, a skill, or something really powerful. Maybe you've had training in an area that really makes you an authority or an expert. Maybe you've written a book, or maybe it's the work you do. But there is something in your experiences that makes you a thought leader. And as a thought leader, that means you're guiding people, that you're opening up possibility for them, and you're also expanding their concept of what is possible, because that's what we do for each other. Otherwise, we just stay in our own minds and we think that reality is in a box. So I want to just pause and thank everyone here who has owned their magnificence, that they are a thought leader, because when we own that, we access that power and we can share it in a powerful way. And I know this is true because you're here, and I know this is true because every Sunday we recite our mission, which is to transform lives that transform the world. And that's powerful. That means we have something powerful to share about who we are. And that's why I wanted to start, too, about the conversation of success. Because in the work that I do, I have a lot of people that come to me that have really, they've had some struggle in their life. Maybe they're going through a transition, or they have an illness, or a life-altering experience. They retire, the children move away from home, or they're in a job that they have had success in, and it's worked really well for a while, and then they just got to a point where it was no longer fulfilling for them. And they started asking the questions like we're actually exploring in the book topic by Wayne Muller in our book study groups, which is, you know, starting with who am I and what is my purpose? And at the fundamental core, one of the most important things that we explore is, what is success for me? And in the most basic sense of the word, success is, am I good? You know, we learn that at a real young age by how our parents react to us when we act a certain way or how we're graded in school. We're really good at looking to external measures. We get trained really well to look to external measures to determine whether we are successful. I got an A or a gold star or a B. Good job. I'm good. However, when we don't get that A or B, then what happens? You know, where do we go from there? Do we make ourselves wrong? And so that's why understanding and looking at what we do, how we define success, is so very important. The other thing that it does is it affects our energy level, our health, our spiritual and mental well-being. Did you read Reverend Paula's email? Did you get an opportunity to read that Thursday that she sends out? And you know how she mentioned that pushing energy? Has anybody felt that other than me? Yeah, I lived for 20 years in that pushing energy, you know, and getting it done, making it happen. I was a chief operating officer, which meant that I had a team of 600 people that reported through me. And it was my job to make sure that all the teams in the different divisions of the company work together in harmony, but also that we were accomplishing the goals of the organization. And that was before I made my spiritual, my move into my life's work about 15 years ago. And one of the things that I noticed in working in all of these different environments is the degree to which we are driven, how much we push ourselves. We push ourselves to be better. We push ourselves to be stronger, more beautiful, thinner. We push ourselves to get more stuff done on our list. Can anybody relate to this other than me? Okay. So we're really good at that pushing energy. We've learned it really well. And then, so we push here, and then we're looking to assess how are we doing. So that's where that definition of success comes in. That's our measure by which we say, I'm doing okay. I got that A or that gold star. That is really well defined when we're in school, but when we get older, we don't have that external definition, and as it should be. Because at one point, and at some point, we start looking within. I know I did. I had a wake-up call. One time I was sitting in my office, and I just, you know, I was at that point when I really had to generate myself. I had to push myself to get up and go to work in the morning. And I had all the external accoutrements, you know, the definition of success. I had the office. I kept getting promoted. I was doing well in my job, in my work, but I wasn't happy. And so that's when I really started to look into purpose and how do we create our experience in life. And that really took me on a very interesting journey into new thought. It took me into a journey of spiritual awakening that defies logic. In fact, I'll share something I didn't share with the earlier service. I woke up one morning right around this time, and or actually it was in the middle of the night, and I felt this electric shock run through my body. And I know this is going to sound really strange to some of you, and some of you it's just going to be matter of fact. So, but I shot up and looked, and at the foot of my bed was a man in Native American dress. So my logical mind said, oh, you're not real. And I, even though that energy was coursing through my entire body, my left mental rational mind could not accept the fact that I was seeing that. And I was seeing it as clearly as I'm seeing Linda and Christopher. It was very clear. And I remember that as I actually laid back down, put my head on the pillow, and he said, yes, I am. And I said, then prove it, as I drifted off to sleep. And I could sense him smiling. When I woke up the next morning, there was a feather on my left shoulder. Now, of course, I was like, whoa, this is something's really strange. Oh, wait a minute, feather pillow, nope. Windows are open, nope. So do you see how quickly the mental level, and I might be alone here, but how quickly my mental level went right to a logical explanation, and I can tell you I've seen things that would defy logic and rational thinking. And up to a certain point, you know, I share that with a lot of the clients that come to work with me, because I really want them to expand their concept of what's reality and what is possible. Because when we start expanding that, we start to see things. We start to see how loved we already are. We start to see that we're already guided, that we have access to so much love and support. We start to understand the power of our beliefs and how to leverage them in a way. Instead of being in a world of doing and being a human doing, we actually become a human being. And we allow God to speak to us in whatever way, you know, we need to wake us up. And for me, that was my wake-up call. I didn't know it at the time, but he even told me, you know, what my name was. And I, you know, many years later, I changed my name to reflect that. He said, that is not your name. This is your name. And I had no idea what it meant, so I looked it up because I thought it was a made-up name. And Anawa means wide awake. I was born in Iowa in the land of the sleepy ones so that I could learn what it means to be wide awake. Now, am I there all the time? No. But it is my desire to be awake and to be aware as much as possible. In other words, to consciously choose and to live on purpose from spirit, you know, from that calling. And I'll tell you, that takes something in today's world, doesn't it? Because we are so goal-oriented. So I went from all that training of setting goals, getting it done, and making it happen, to now I have to trust in something I can't always see with my physical eyes. And I'll tell you that every single moment of it has been worth it, although it hasn't always been easy. because I learned the difference between motivation and inspiration. And I get what Paula was saying when she mentioned that pushing energy, because I got really good at that. And that has consequences. Because when we're pushing ourselves or motivating ourselves to do something, that is a great signal. There's nothing wrong. We're wired, you know, for our emotional guidance system tells us something. And that tells us that, wait a minute, you're actually trying to make yourself do something you do not want to do. And we live in the world of motivation, don't we? You know, motivate yourself to lose weight, motivate yourself to make more money, motivate yourself, you know, to, I don't know, get a bowl of ice cream. But that motivation is a pushing energy. We're making ourselves, trying to make ourselves either do something we don't want to do, or maybe it's something we want to do, but we have a belief system underneath it that's making it hard. So we're producing hard. So then we procrastinate, and then, I don't know about you, but I've been there where I've made myself wrong for procrastinating. But what if procrastinating is your friend? What if it's telling you something meaningful? And what I learned is, wait a minute, procrastination is telling me something powerful. All of our emotions tell us something. And it's telling me that I have something in my belief system that's off here, that I've bought into a way of doing things. Maybe it's a five-step process, but it's not coming from who I really am or my definition of success. It's not coming from an easy way to do it. It's coming from hard. So actually, that's my soul's way of saying, don't go there. That's going to be hard. It's not going to produce the results that you really want. How is this landing so far? Anybody else? Yeah, okay. Good. So inspiration, the good news is we all know what inspiration feels like. How are you inspired? Well, you feel lit up. You know, when you listen to Boyd and Cheryl and Michelle sing, or when you see somebody like Chloe Kim, you know, just fully self-expressed on the snowboarding and just being herself, not holding back, but shining her light. You know what inspired feels like, and that's why nothing else will do. You know, motivating ourselves is becoming harder and harder. As Christopher mentioned, you know, while we were talking in between the services, the energy's speeding up. So as the energy speeds up, the less tolerant we are of that pushing energy. Our souls just won't let us go there. So the good news is we all know we have a basis of understanding that our beliefs matter. And actually, when we step out of the world of motivation and into inspiration, we're leveraging the energy that creates worlds. We're leveraging belief. We can believe literally anything into existence. I've seen it. I've seen so many examples of people that believed, you know, I shared a story in the earlier service about a client I had who came to me. I happened to be speaking in Omaha, and she came up and she said, you know, I've got stage 4 cancer. The doctors have told me that, you know, get your affairs in order. You know, my husband is really encouraging me to stay with the chemo because he's a cancer research scientist. And in the conversation, what we discovered and uncovered was that she had a belief that the chemo would kill her. So it actually made her worse. Because that is the power of our own thinking. We leverage our beliefs every day, whether we're conscious of it or not. So fast forward, you know, a few months later, you know, she had had a conversation with her husband that she was going to make a choice that was in alignment with what she believed. And when she went to the doctor and said, I'm not going to do chemo, and again, I would never recommend that to somebody. That is a personal choice that somebody has to come from where they are in their life and what they believe. But she made a personal choice, and she told the doctor, I've decided to forego chemo, and I'm going to allow myself to get better, just like Myrtle Fillmore did, you know, when she affirmed, you know, that she was a child of God. So she affirmed and she declared that she decided she wanted to live and that she wanted to be free to be who she really was. And in that moment, something really powerful happens, because when you choose the energy that literally creates planets, that creates your human body, all of that comes to bear. No amount of doing can counteract that. So, and just like no amount of not believing, or if we're not willing to believe what we want is possible, no doing can counteract that. So the interesting thing is, I suggested just keep going and having your markers checked. And one of the things that she did is, you know, one day she went and they couldn't find any trace of cancer. And she'd had no other work other than through understanding the power of shifting her beliefs. So the doctor said, well, that's good, but your markers will never be normal. And in her mind, she said, watch me. And guess what? Her next doctor's appointment, her markers were normal. That power resides in each one of us. And that's just one of the many examples I can cite you that we would call miracles, but that's actually how we're wired. We create our reality in the most basic sense of the word. And so when I started with, are you aware you're a thought leader? I asked that question because when we own who we are as leaders, we are in a position to stand in a powerful way and to make a positive difference in the world in whatever area has personal meaning for us. So we know with absolute clarity that when we're pushing ourselves and trying to make it happen, that's probably not the path we want to take because we're trying to do something we don't want to do. But when we're coming from inspiration, we would take that action regardless of the outcome. So happiness is factored in. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 16, I think, but I might be wrong, you can check, but it's in Matthew, it writes that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And Buddha also taught us that there is no path to happiness. Happiness is the path. So if that's the case, then we need to incorporate happiness into our definition of success, because that's the measure by which we use to say, am I doing okay? And one of the things that I found especially interesting is that when I looked and did the research into our definitions in mainstream, there are a lot of words about honors, about position, about money, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's why we do it that matters. You know, whether we're doing it to prove ourselves worthy enough or whether we're doing it out of genuine inspiration. And one of the things that I found really interesting is that happiness is not mentioned in any definition. And so we wonder why, you know, the prescriptions for antidepressants have actually grown 400% since 1989, and that's across all age groups. I found that little tidbit very startling, and I found that when I was doing a little bit of research for my book, Just Believe. And I think that points to something that's fundamentally an opportunity for us as way showers, as thought leaders, to bring the importance and the priority of happiness and the importance of the journey back into our conversations with people, to plant those seeds, you know, and to spread that love and that joy, because it makes a difference. What's really interesting too is once somebody starts down the road of antidepressants, they tend to be on them for 10 years or more. Interesting, isn't it? And now we're prescribing those medications at even earlier ages, from 12. Used to be it was 18, now it's 12. There's something fundamentally at odds with who we are as spiritual beings. And everyone here knows inherently what that is. We are human beings, not human doings, and we're here for the journey as well as the destination. So I would like to invite you, as we enter into our meditation, to do your own searching and to see if you can discover what is speaking to your heart. You know, is there something in your definition of success that you want to, you know, change or shift or expand? Is there something in your beliefs or in your desires that you want to expand that's possible for you, that maybe you have been limiting yourself in some way? But let Spirit speak through you and what you need, you know, to move powerfully forward in whatever area is calling you. So I invite you to close your eyes and bring your awareness into your heart, into that sacred space, into that place where you know without doubt, but you know with absolute certainty that you are a child of God, that you are a leader, that you are self-led, and that you are loved beyond limits, beyond conditions, that you are loved beyond what words can express. And so coming from that space of spiritual knowing that you already are inherently good, you get to define any definition of success that works for you. So I invite you to enter into the silence. And so it is.